Good morning. Great to be with you. Thank you, Elise, for those kind words. A special thanks for a couple of people that made a special effort to be here this morning. Thank you. Let me just start by asking you something. Have you ever had a period of time in your life where everything seemed to be falling apart? Oh, that's bright. Okay. No, that's fine. Everything just seems to be falling apart. Your car dies. Your computer's not working. The dishwasher is making strange sounds. The kitchen faucet has no water, so you have no water in your kitchen. The refrigerator is broken. And to get a new white refrigerator to go with the rest of my appliances is going to take at least 4 weeks. And to add to the fun, Canada Revenue just notified you that you owe big bucks on your income tax. And then you've got this horrid cold that keeps hanging on forever and ever. I hardly ever get sick, but there was this cold just hanging on for dear life. That's what we had going on in our, in our place. And all we wanted was for everything and everyone to be restored to its normal state. Just on another note, do you know that there is a product? Yes. At your pharmacy with the word restore right in it. It's called Restorilax. And do you have any idea what it's supposed to restore? Apparently, it helps to restore bowel movements. Aren't you glad you came to coffee hour this morning? You just learned so much. By the way, I'm not recommending any product here. I'm not even going to tell you who this belongs to in here. You know, there are people who make a living by restoring things, and we, some people restore cars. Sure, whatever you like.
Is that okay?
Put it towards me.
Can you see it?
Is that sure, okay? It's great. I'm all teary-eyed up here. Okay, thanks. Some people like to restore cars. They make a living by doing that. And some people like to restore older homes. And we have just had a wonderful presentation by Suzanne. Thank you, Suzanne, on this very topic. In any case, the point of a restoration project is to restore something to its original beauty or to even improve on it. But what does the Bible say about restoration? What does the Bible say? Excuse me. We're going to explore this shortly, but first, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, your grace, your faithfulness. We thank you this morning that you are the master of restoration, and whatever hardship comes our way, that after a little while, You will restore, renew, and make us steadfast and unshakable. Please implant this promise into our hearts and minds for our good and for your glory. And we ask you in the precious name that is above every name, Jesus. So this morning, our focus will be on our amazing God who promises restoration. And our focus verse will be 1 Peter 5 and 10. And the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 is Peter's encouragement to believers to endure suffering for a while with hope, reminding them of their future glory in Christ. This theme of restoration is a central theme throughout the Bible, symbolizing God's unchanging promise to rebuild, renew, and redeem those who were lost, past and present. But restoration does not imply that every illness a believer has will be healed while here on earth. But it does suggest that while suffering may seem long and intense in the moment, it will ultimately be short in comparison to the eternal glory that God will promise in a pain-free, sin-free heaven forever and ever. Can I get an amen? Thank you. So looking at the biblical theme of restoration provides a foundation for understanding God's unceasing quest to save his people and restore them to his image. It's interesting to note the word restore is mentioned 136 times in the Bible. But this morning we're only going to look at 130. No doubt, the most well-known verse containing the word restore is in Psalm 23 and 3. He restores my soul. When we read or hear the words, excuse me, you're going to have to take a drink here. The most well-known verse containing the word restores is in Psalm 23 and 3. He restores my soul. When we read or hear the words, he restores my soul, we're reminded of the comfort only God can provide for the brokenhearted. He listens to their cries and hears every word. When we feel the weight of life is too hard, we can go to the Father and he will restore our souls. You know, this should encourage us day by day. One critical aspect of restoration is reconciliation with God through repentance and forgiveness. Restoration requires faith. And my hope and prayer this morning is that everyone present knows the Lord as their Savior. As Romans 10 and 9 states, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you haven't already taken this step of faith, I encourage you to do so this morning. He's as close as the mention of his name. Remember, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that's from 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Let's now consider a few examples of restored lives. From the Old Testament, we have Job, Joseph, and David. Job, after enduring immense suffering and losing everything, his wealth, his family, and his health, he is restored by God with twice as much as he had before. His story gives us a lesson on perseverance and faith in God's plan. God restored everything Job had lost. And also, most importantly, Job's faith and trust in a merciful and loving God was restored. Joseph, having faced betrayal and hardship, went from the pit to the prison to the palace, where God placed him second in command in all of Egypt, allowing him to save his family and a whole nation. King David, after his sin with Bathsheba, David's heartfelt prayer of repentance to God in Psalm 51 is an example of personal restoration through prayer. He cries out to God in Psalm 51:12, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Not only did God restore David, but he will restore us when we fall and we fail and call on him. And in the New Testament, Jesus' entire ministry is characterized by acts of restoration. He healed the sick, forgave sins, and ultimately brought about a restoration of humanity's relationship with God through his life, death, and glorious resurrection. This restoration wasn't just about physical healing, but also about spiritual and relational healing, bringing people closer to God. Then there was the Apostle Peter, you recall, denied his Lord three times the night he was betrayed, but was restored by Jesus and went on to lead the early church. Then there was the Apostle Paul, who was restored from persecuting Christians to preaching the gospel to Gentiles, and who wrote half of the books of the New Testament. Now, for an example of a heart-wrenching contemporary restoration story, I would recommend the movie I Can Only Imagine. This movie powerfully depicts the transformation of an abusive father who went from being a monster to falling deeply in love with Jesus and becoming, as a result, a loving and caring dad and a bearer of the good news to others. Just like the abusive father in the movie, we are all projects who are in need of restoration from our brokenness and sin. We need the Master Restorer to come and work in us and on us. Let's now examine three aspects of restoration, namely that God loves to restore individuals, he delights to restore relationships, and he will restore creation. Firstly, God desires to restore individuals, as stated in Isaiah 61:3, to grant them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It speaks to God's desire to restore individuals to their former joy and wholeness. So this morning, if you're feeling like God is disappointed in you and that you have to somehow make up for all your wrongs, and that restoration is for everyone but you, remember this truth. You are not beyond restoration. You are deeply loved by a God who sees you through the eyes of compassion and not condemnation. In addition, God delights to restore relationships. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them. How, ladies? How should we restore them? Gently. Gently. This emphasizes the importance of restoring broken relationships within the community of faith. Thirdly, God is going to restore creation back to its original perfect state before sin entered the world. Romans 8, 19 to 21 describes the entire present creation as groaning for restoration from death and decay, and points to the future creation, creation free from sin in the new heaven and a new earth. So before we consider possible application to 1 Peter 5 and 10, let's remember that restoration is a process, and it's a journey of transformation, and that it takes time, lots and lots of time. I can attest to that. Sometimes it just takes a lot of time. So with this in mind, let's briefly consider five things that we can do while waiting for God to restore us. And some of these are going to be a little hard. Initially, let's stay calm. Let's stay calm in our spirit. Not easy to do. Stay calm in your spirit. It's not a time for anxiety and panic, although I visit Anxiety Avenue and Panic City now and then. But thankfully, I never stay there very long. Secondly, stay connected to your church. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 reminds us to gather with God's people. I like to say, I need the Jesus in you, and you, and you, and you. I need the Jesus in you, and you need the Jesus in me. And as Jen Sarlo sometimes reminds us, better together. And speaking from a personal experience, if you're going through a long struggle, surround yourself with positive supporters and encouragers to cheer you and to pray with you, and for you. I was blessed with 40 years with a prayer partner. And that's a treasure. If you have a prayer partner, you have a gift from God. Anyway, thirdly, stay compassionate towards others. Help people who need our help. God has helped us to this time and this place for a reason and a season. We are his hands and his feet wherever he has placed us. No doubt you have prayed with or for people who are undergoing difficult and hard times. Not long ago, I had the privilege of praying in a doctor's office with a complete stranger whose husband had just had a stroke. I think this was Monday, and he had had the stroke on Friday. She was distraught, totally understandable. But after our brief prayer time, her spirits were lifted and she was encouraged to face the trial ahead. So just as an aside, I was able to encourage this person because several years ago, I had a front row seat to a stroke victim. My youngest brother had a massive stroke, and without going into any details, by the grace of God, as our verse says, by the grace of God, and the faithful prayers of many, thank you, he was restored back to his family. Incidentally, this activity of praying in public places, it's not an unusual practice for me. I could be at a grocery store, the Walmart, the dentist, Bellevue Park, wherever I find myself, and while in prayer, people will look strangely at us. They'll think we're a little tickety-boo. It's okay. The bottom line is that wherever we find ourselves, let's stay compassionate and attentive to the needs of others. Fourthly, stay committed to God's word. Stay committed to God's word. Reading the scriptures daily, the enemy will try to distract you with TV, social media, your phone, and the busyness of everyday life. So let's stay committed to prayer and communing with our Heavenly Father. You know, memorizing scripture, singing hymns and songs of praise, and attending church are really important elements of the Christian life. Nothing, however, is a replacement for quality time spent alone with Jesus. I know I don't spend enough time in prayer and conversation with the Lord. How about you? Finally, stay thankful. An attitude of gratitude pleases God. It's good to recall God's help, blessings, and faithfulness in previous times. These remembrances will help us to stay thankful. I don't know what loss, heartbreak, health issue, financial challenge, or spiritual warfare you're facing. You may be feeling like restoration and healing is for everybody else. But please remember the promise of 1 Peter 5 and 10. Then that God specializes in restoration. I don't have to tell you that life can be hard. There are moments when the weight of the trials feels unbearable, when the pain lingers, when prayers seem unanswered, when you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But take heart, because your suffering is not the end of your story. Restoration may not happen overnight, I've said that before, but God's promises are steadfast. Trust God's timing. Waiting on Him develops patience, perseverance, and faith. We need to ask God to help us see our pain in light of eternity, knowing that God has prepared a better future for each of us. Your pain is temporary, but God's grace, as noted in 1 Peter 10, is eternal. Hold on. God is working. Let His grace carry you and trust. Trust that He will bring you through. In summary, this morning we examined some key points of restoration and we noted some examples of restored lives from both the Old and New Testament. Finally, I suggested 5 things that you and I could possibly do while waiting to be restored from brokenness to wholeness. In conclusion, I would like to close with a song entitled After the Storm by John Drolet. It's inspired by our focus verse, 1 Peter 5 and 10. This song speaks to the promise of restoration and strength after suffering. It emphasizes God's grace and unwavering support during and after challenging times. After the Storm is more than a song. It's a story of hope beyond the struggle. Let's listen.
I've walked through fire, felt the weight of the night, but you never let go. You held me through the fight. Every tear, every trial was shaping something new. Your grace was the anchor that carried me through. After the storm, you restore. Make me strong forevermore. You call me to glory. You lift me again by the power of Christ. I stand in the end, firm and unshaken, faithful and true. You are the God who sees me through. I've stumbled, I've wept, but you still call my name. Through suffering and silence, your promise remained. Now I rise with the dawn in the light of your grace. What the enemy broke, you're starting to replace. After the storm, you restore. Make me strong forevermore. You call me to glory. You lift me again by the power of Christ. I stand in the end, firm and unshaken, faithful and true. You call me to glory. You lift me again by the power of Christ. I stand in the end, firm and unshaken, faithful and true. You are the God who sees me through. After the storm, you restore.